Okay, Hebra, Erev Tov from Down Under. Hope you guys are all well.
Merhaba. Thanks.
Hello, Harry. Hello, hello.
Good, how's it?
BH, all good. If you have a look, I've just sent you, I put on the WhatsApp group a piece that I'd like to go through. You may have seen it before, but I've just scanned it in from the Sefer Kemotzei Shalal Rav. Not sure if you're familiar with that. The Sefer has some wonderful collections of Chidushim, essays, etc. So I'd like to spend a bit of time going through it, and hopefully you'll enjoy the Chidush. Okay, so we're looking at a sugya on our Parshat Ki Tisa, and what we find is that there's a well-known midrash, as you know. The midrash tells us that when Moshe Rabbeinu came down the mountain, he shatters the luchot, and the midrash tells you that the process by which that whole breaking of the luchot took place was essentially Moshe Rabbeinu looking at the luchot, seeing that all of a sudden the letters of the luchot were flying heavenward, and as a result of the letters, emptying out of the sapphire stone, the buoyancy of the stone was lost, and as a result, Moshe Rabbeinu could no longer carry the stone, and therefore he drops it. Now, it is interesting that the Midrash has to deal with the expression in the Pasuk where it says Vayashleich, that Moshe Rabbeinu actually threw the stone down. He threw the, if the Midrash is to be understood in a literal sense, you don't. I mean, I guess it's hard to work out how you throw something that's too heavy to carry, and therefore you drop it. It's that kind of interesting play between this idea in the words of the Midrash, which we have to appreciate. Nevertheless, it's a well-known, very, very well-known Midrash. We all learned it in Cheder, and it's this particular Midrash that I think has some really interesting dimensions to it. This idea that Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Luchot, the Gemara also tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though he didn't ask Hashem any permission, Hashem congratulated him. There's the imagery of the Luchot acting as a ketubah, and in order to protect Am Yisrael's, so to speak, infidelity, if the ketubah is torn up, so the relationship is not yet cemented, and the so-called infidelity is not as great as it would have otherwise been. These imageries are quite well known to us. But if we zoom in on this idea that like the Midrash tells us, we have a number of questions to ask. So what I want to share with you is when you looking at this piece in the Motzei Shalal Rav, what you see is as follows. The quote, this midrash that we're looking at, is a midrash from the Yalkut Shimoni. So let me just direct you to it so we can get right into it. When you in your own time, if you want, you're welcome, obviously, to read through this particular piece. So we on the second page. We're on the second page where we'll find the Shin Pei Chet is at the top of the page, and we are the third paragraph, second to last paragraph on Shin Pei Chet. And yeah, this is where the Yalkut Shimoni is quoted. Now, this particular Chiddush that is brought in the Sefer, as you can see at the top of page Shin Pei Chet, and top of Shin Pei Tet, you see that the Chiddush is brought in the name of Rav Eliyahu Gutmacher. he was a you know, Talmid of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, very, very well known Gadol. The anecdotes about him, late 19th century, but essentially he used to travel on holiday to go to various resorts in Europe, and people used to follow him there, like en masse. And one particular summer, he didn't have the money to finance his holiday. So he called up his particular hotel that he went to and canceled the booking. When they saw that he canceled the booking, they phoned him to ask why. And he said, listen, I don't have the income. So they said, it's on the house, come for free. And they basically paid for his holiday there because they made a fortune out of all the fans that came to, all the Yidden that came to get brochas from him. So he was a tremendous, tremendous gaon. And he has chidushim on Shas. And in this particular chidush is a piece written by him to explain this agarata of these letters that essentially left the luchot. He explains it based on, and it's, you can find it in his chidushim on Masechet Chagiga Daf Yud Bet. That's where it is. Okay, so just a little brief introduction to the person who wrote or suggested the particular chiddush. So if you are with me at the bottom of Shin Pei Chet, quoting the Yalkut Shimoni there, and this is what, the Zeh Lashono, second line in that third paragraph. Nistakal Moshe B'luchot, Moshe Rabbeinu sees the actual tablets, V'ra'ah Sheparach K'tav Me'alehen. He sees the writing, you know, essentially floating off the stones, vishlichan miyadav, and he threw them down. Miyad nitaleim v'lo haya yachol lashiv davar. Okay, so the Medrash comes along at that point in time. It's a tragedy unfolding, and there's nothing he can do. Bota sha'a, says the Medrash, at that point in time, nigzera gzera al Yisrael. As a result of the worship of the Egel, the Gzeira was leveled against Klal Yisrael. Sheil Meduota, Torah will only be achieved, or I guess Jewish life will only be achieved, mitocha tzar, or mitocha shibud, with pain and servitude, or mitocha tiltul, and uprootedness and moving all over the place, or mitocha tiruf, or mitocha dochak, in poverty and threat. Umitoch she'ein lahem mezonot. The dochak is because we have no food. Ubishvil oto hatzar she'ein mitzarin. But in the end, that tzar of galut, which is born out of this Egel episode, in the end, the pain won't just be a punishment, but in the end, the pain will become like an investment. And atir HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'shalem lahen scharan limot HaMashiach kaful u'mechupal. In the end of days, all the Torahs, the Tzar, that Am Yisrael has felt, will be rewarded to us in spades. Quotes a pasuk from Yeshayahu to support that idea. Okay. Midira ha-medrash zeh, midbayer ha-itayv, madua shiber Moshe ta-luchot. From the words of the Midrash, we get an understanding of why Moshe Rabbeinu broke the luchot. Now, what does it say? You know, kivan sheshuv lo ayu otiot al luchot. Since there were no letters left on the luchot, Moshe Rabbeinu understood shiratzah Kosh Baruch Hu levatlan legamrei. Kosh Baruch Hu wanted to cancel the whole relationship. And if so, ulam adayin aleinu lavin madua lakach Kosh Baruch Hu bechazara et haotiyot. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to cancel the whole relationship with Klal Yisrael or be mevatel the concept of the Luchot completely, why did he just take the letters and then give us back a second set of Luchot? V'natan lehem l'achar mikein Luchot shniyot. You know, maya asal kedai tech mitchila. In other words, what was the original thought process of HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'likichat ha'otiyot in capturing the letters, shelo yeh dinam shuv kebayim bivrit Hashem ukeilu lo kiblu atorah klal. Now, what is it all about? Kan mechadei shagaron Rabbi Eliyahu Gutmacher biur aroch v'nifla b'chol ha'inyan. So, in order to understand the depths behind this particular midrash and the whole idea, we focus on this chiddush, which needs to have an introduction, which we can find in the Gemara in Megillah Daf Bet Amud Bet. What does the Gemara say? The Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Yirmi, Avitaim Rabbi Chia Bar Abba." In that Gemara in Masechet Megillah, there are a whole slew of statements that were made by Rabbi Yirmiah in the name, and some people say in the name of Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, and they had to do with Purim, the Megillah. Once the Gemara is finished relating these statements that were said by Rabbi Yirmiah and Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, so the Gemara continues as is its way to relate other statements that lav dafka have anything to do with the actual subject at hand. Just that the thread continues because we're talking about statements made by Rabbi Yirmiah and Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, so other statements are then related by them. So yeah, is a famous statement from the Gemara. Maybe I can quickly just send it to you from the Svaria. Let me see quickly. Just take pictures of it, yeah, and see what I've got here. Yeah. Okay. Coming over to you now. Okay. He has the Gemara with a translation. Okay, so you see here, this is what the Gemara says. Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, Vaitam Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, Menatzpach Tzofim Amarum. Menatzpach is a kind of a made-up word used by contracting these five letters, Mem, Nun, Tzadi, Pei, and Chaf. And you might recognize the fact that these letters are what we call final letters. You know, an ot, which is at the end of a letter, end of a word. You know, a final letter. There, these five letters, in addition to the 22 letters of the alphabet, you have these five letters have kind of like a dual way of writing them. We have either patuach, you know, or satum, open or closed, or kafuf, bent, or zakuf, straight. So what we have over here are different. These five letters are unique because they're the five final letters. Now, this concept of having letters that you call final letters, that if they're at the end of a word, you turn them into final letters, Where's this idea come from? So this is the famous statement by Rabbi Yirmiah, Rabbi Chia Bar Abba. Menatzpach, these five letters, which are final, they turn into final letters when they're at the end of a word. Tzofim Amarum. Certain prophets who were known as Tzofim, Litzpot means to see, in advance, to see. Certain Nevi'im called Tzofim Amarum, they prophesied that this is how these letters have to be applied. Fine. Says the Gemara of Tisbara, does this make sense? You know, we have a pasuk which says, Vaktiv Eile Mitzvot. The pasuk says that mitzvot essentially are a closed set after Moshe Rabbeinu has passed away. When Moshe Rabbeinu dies, Mikan ein avir ashay lechadesh tavar. From here, Eila, these are the mitzvot. No other mitzvah, no other. It's interesting how they term the word mitzvah when they're dealing with letters, but no other piece of information on a level which would affect Torah can be initiated, can be given by another prophet. So that's problem number one. What do you mean there were prophets who came along and they were given prophecies that Moshe Rabbeinu never had any clue about? It can't be. That it's got to do with Torah. Number two, V'or Amar Rav Chisda, Mem V'samach Shebaluchot. Next picture, but the Mem and Samach that were within the words engraved on the Luchot, B'nais Hayu Omdim. We know well that this Agarata, that the Mem and Samach stood miraculously. The idea behind it is that you have a square letter in a case of a final mem. You had a samach, another square letter. Whenever you've got a fully square letter, the middle part of the letter needs, it's engraved into stone. The middle part of the letter, if it's completely separated out from the walls of the stone, it needs something to hold it up. How does the middle of the letter remain there without some sort of miracle? Says the Gemara, this Agarata that's well known to us in the name of Rav Chisda implies that there were final letters in existence already then at the time of Matan Torah. So what are you telling me? You know, what are you telling me that Tzofim Nevim later on Amarum, you know, that came along and said them? They already existed there. We've got a problem over here. So says the Gemara, you know, the truth is that there are different types of the letters. They were given in different ways. They can be written. The Gemara says, you know, there were two different types of forms over here which the letters took. But it wasn't clear to Am Yisrael which would be in the middle, which would be at the end. So they were there, but they weren't clear. And the prophets of later years came along and established it. They taught us exactly how to read it. So kind of there was an era where it was confusing, and then somehow the Nevi'im came along and sorted it out. I mean, what does that mean? How does it become confusing? Anyway, soft, the Gemara says, Eile ha-mitzvot she'ein avi atid l'chadesh davar mi'ata. Really, we reject this idea, and we're thrown back to ask, you know, what does it mean? And the Gemara then says, the truth is, the concept of final letters, yes, was in existence already from Matan Torah. Ela shachum, but Am Yisrael forgot them. V'chazru v'yizdum, and the Nevi'im of later years came along and reinstituted them and taught us how to work with the alphabet, including these letters. That's the sugya in Masechet Megillah. Now, go back to the article that I sent you, and we start to see some of the questions dealt with by Rav Eliyahu Gutmacher. So he says, like as he says, "V'al kach kotev ha'gaon hanal yesh litmoa harbei." It's really confusing this chiddush here. Eich yitachein lishkoach et k'tivat ha'alef beis hanimtzaot me'az ha'inu la'am lifnei kol echad mikatan v'gadol. How is it possible that Am Yisrael forgot parts of the alphabet that every single person knows, you know, from Tani Tot all the way through to the great time in Chachomim? You know, I understand various other machlokot that we have in other mitzvahs, you know, Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam's Tfilin. How do you sound a trua in a shofar? You know, different countries, different towns had no contact with each other. Different minagim developed, at least according to the way that this person is writing. You could answer, and you know, we'll leave it alone for the moment. Okay, fine. Everyone knows Aleph Beis. There's never been a question about Aleph Beis. You know, what does it mean they forgot it? And if they forgot it, means they never had any use for it. So why did they have to get? Why did they have to get the Naveen to come and bring it back? That's the major question. A side question, but has relevance to the Bala Tosfot on that particular Gemara. Asked the question, you know, when the Gemara deals with these five final letters, and it sets them up as Minatz Pach, as if it's already a concept where the five letters are made into a kind of an abbreviated word. If you're going to package it as a unit of letters, wouldn't you put them in chronological order? Maybe it's hard to say it, but you know, you've got the chaf that should be at the beginning. You know, you could say come on top. You could say come on top as well. Just put it in the, you know, you'd have to actually get the pay behind the tzadi too. So it's sort of scrambled a bit the way that the word is put together in the Gemara. This is the Baal HaTosfot's question. Sheinu lefi ha-seder ha-yadua. The tirtzu shehu mishum tzofayich. But you say, Anachanami, you're right. The reason why it's ordered out of order is because Minatzpach is a construct of a word, tzofayich. You know, so tzofayich means from tzofim, like prophets, specific types of prophets were able to see into the future and give us back the skill to use these letters. But says Rabbi Gutmacher, what does that mean? What are these letters? Why are they different at the end of the word and not in the middle of the word? What are they? What's wrong with them? Why can't you just have one set of one format and like all other letters? So in order to appreciate this, let's just expand for a few moments also a fundamental concept that I'm sure you know well. And that is as follows. We have an expression that when Bezalel was commissioned to build the Mishkan, the Gemara says that Bezalel had a certain Ruach HaKodesh, certain level of prophecy, which enabled him to be Mitzaref Otiyot. He could create things. He could design things by combining letters. Mitzaref Otiyot. The implication is, which the Chachmei HaKabbalah, you know, expand on tremendously, and that is that the whole concept of existence, not just the Mishkan by Bezalel, but the whole concept of the existence of the world, the universe, physicality, is possible only through a process by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu refracts his infinite or divine sense of being through a particular set of tracks of energy. And these pathways of energy allow the world to exist. These energies are expressed through the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Which means that when you start to discuss philosophically the origin of language, normally we would come out to the conclusion that cultures all over the world, through the use of intellect, you know, created a sophisticated approach to sound, which became structured as words, and eventually you have by consensus a language. So we would say that all other languages mutate through that process. But Lashon HaKodesh, Hebrew, is not by consensus. Hebrew is actually divinely constructed as vehicles through which HaKodesh Baruch Hu pours his presence, his energy, into the world. The letters are the building blocks of the universe. Now, looking at the next paragraph, Shin Pei Tet, penultimate paragraph. Ulam Hare Yadua Shevo Otiot Nivra Olam. Through through the aegis of the letters of the alphabet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creative energy creates the universe. As Chazal explained, if the letters represent that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has invested spirituality in the creation of physicality, the letters are not just represented by sounds. There's so much to a letter, and there's a form to a letter. There's a font to a letter. The form and font of the letter is part and parcel of the message, the concept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, injects into the letter. He's, and therefore they represent, each letter represents a concept, and the form and shape of the letter telegraphs a message about that concept embedded in the kishkas of the letter. And therefore you should be able to see a correlation between how the world looks by seeing it in the formation of the actual form of the letter. There's kind of a mirror image here between what's happening in the universe and the nature of the shape of the letter. Now, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam HaRishon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu now is creating the entire universe with Adam, with humanity, and at the beginning of creation, the world is in pristine condition, in an ideal state of spiritual purity. That state is represented by the shape of letters. The letters and their shape, therefore, you should be able to detect within them concept after concept, in letter after letter, which represents the world in its pristine state. After Adam HaRishon sins, he opens up the sluice gate for pain, for suffering, for exile, for all manner of negativity, for the inability of the human being to be successful, to painstakingly generate pranosa, tzar gidul banim, to have children, which is a painful exercise, which is difficult. The whole entire world, essentially mutated into something which was ridiculously challenging. That's what happened after the chait, of Adam and Chava. And as a result of the world changing, the letters and their formation, the letters that represent the change from pristine purity to a painful world, those letters would be as if they were, their shape was a forced change upon the nature of that letter. Now, let's take and understand this a little bit deeper by looking at the actual letters. These five letters, Menatzpach, the Mem, the Nun, the Tzadi, the Pei, the Chaf, these letters originally, these letters were written only one way. Now it's interesting that the way that you see them in their as a final letter, this is the nature of these letters. That's the pristine state of these letters, because each of these letters represent a concept which is at its ideal state at the beginning of creation. As Adam and Chava sinned, the most tragic opening that was made in the world was mortality, and death was brought into the world. So if you look at a final mem, the mem is completely sealed. Nothing can get in. Mita, the mem stands for mita, death could not penetrate the letter. It's as if the letter, when the world was created, the mem represented the world with a shield against death. The minute Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz Hadaat in Gan Eden, the shield of the letter disappeared and a crack formed in the letter. Mita, death, could enter the world. And therefore the letter Mem, which was created as an expression of a concept in a pristine world of purity, which would defend against Mita, was defeated. Death was allowed into the world. And therefore the letter was, so to speak, constricted or reformatted with a crack in the bottom of the letter such that death could get into the world. And the little piece, so to speak, of the letter Mem missing on its base when it's a bent letter like we have today, that little piece, we could suggest it's a yud. And the yud, I saw this in one of the Hasidic Sforim, I think the Bnei Yisachar says this. The yud went to the top of the bent letter. And that's that little yud at the top of the letter. And that yud came from the bottom of the base. It was misplaced. The shield was broken and death came into the world. As a result, another result of Adam and Chava's chait in Gan Eden is the concept of exile, of galut. They were exiled through Gan Eden and their progeny will be exiled too. And the concept of galut, implies concept, not just galut, but subjugation. It's all a result of an imperfect world. Right? That's the idea that we see over here. So when you contemplate this, what do you see? The next letter is an imperfect world. People will be oppressed. It's the fall of human beings' status. The nun is nifila, the second letter. The nun is nifila. It used to be straight as a rod, upright, kumamiyut, an expression of strength. All of a sudden, it was forced into submission. And the human being's status was compromised hugely. Number three, the ability to remain righteous. The concept of tzidkut, righteousness. Chazal explained, Balei Machshava explained, that when you look at the concept of the building of the Mishkan, which came to sort of repair the relationship that was lost after the Chet HaEgel. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Va'asu li mikdash, make for me a mikdash. That's interesting. The word li, make it for me. Originally, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and before the sin, the concept of Kedusha, sanctity, was large. And there was only a tiny dot of the potential for evil. And as soon as Adam and Chava capitulated, the role reversed. Evil kind of swallowed up goodness. And there was only a little bit of righteousness left in the world. The word Li has the biggest letter in the alphabet, the Lamed, and the smallest letter, the Yud. Originally, the Lamed represented Kedusha, and the Yud was the potential for evil. After the Chait, it's the other way around. So here, to be a good person is a real struggle. The concept of Tzidkut, represented by the letter Tzadi, which used to be in its final form, in a straight, upright, strong position, completely straight, now becomes bent. The concept of righteousness, of integrity, is compromised. All our physical drives of the human being were existed on an elevated state, you know, everything. All of that represented by a human being's ability to speak, our consciousness, our expression, all of that is the pay, the pair, the mouth. The pay used to be upright and straight. And it was forced into a compromised position. And Parnassa lastly became extremely difficult. And the chaf represents a person's hand. Parnassa, the work of our hands, Parnassa became extremely challenging. So therefore, as a result of the chait, the world changed. So to put it together for you, says Rav Guttmacher, an unbelievable chiddush here. When the world was created originally, there were certain letters that were foundational concepts in representing the pristine state of the world. These were the letters that represented that pristine state. And each letter formatted, the shape of the letter represented its concept as a pristine concept, unaffected, you know, straight, closed, protected. And as a result of the chait, these letters, they literally suffered a blow. They had to represent the world as it is now, not as it was. And therefore those letters changed. So they went from being, let's call it straight up letters or complete letters, they became compressed letters. So says Rav Guttmacher, yes, chiddush number one is that the world was created in such a way that these letters were, you know, what we call final letters. There's no such thing as final letters. The letters always existed the same, whether they were in the middle of a word or at the end of a word. They were always straight. The mem was always whole. After the chait of Adam and Chava, the letters became bent. And again, no such thing as final letters. They are either straight and whole or bent and broken. No such thing as final letters. That's how it was when after Adam and Chava, after the chait. Right? That's how it is. So now we history now starts to travel. The whole idea of Jewish history, you know, is essentially an attempt to try and repair the damage that took place. So okay, the letters change because of what happened in the world changed as a result of the chait of Adam HaRishon. That's how the letters are. So there was no such thing as final letters. They were either what we call final letters today. That they were either like that Adam and Chava saw them or understood them or spoke with them, used them in their communication, if you will, and then lost the ability to use them because the letters became contracted and broken and bent. And it was all the way like that until Matan Torah. At Ma'amar Sinai, the world returned to the Madrega, to the level of Adam and Chava Korem Achait. And as the world healed from its problems and all of the ills that came as a result of the, you know, of the curse, of the as a result of the chait of Adam and Chava, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu invited Moshe Rabbeinu up to receive the Luchot, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu engraved on the Luchot the shape of the letters, HaKadosh Baruch Hu engraved them in their original form, which today we call final letters. But what they aren't final, they're the original form. That they're completely straight, pure, and whole. And that's how they were on the original first set of Luchot. Moshe Rabbeinu is there, he sees this magnificent gift of the Luchot, this miraculous kind of sapphire, you know, with that contained, you know, infinite dimensions of information embedded in the crystals of this cube. You know, this is kind of like a USB with dimensions, you know, at Sofa Olam. And Moshe Rabbeinu was privileged to see it, to receive it, to look at it. And he's bringing it down to Klal Yisrael. And all of a sudden, you know, unbeknownst to Moshe Rabbeinu, the whole world starts to shake. The spiritual world is turned on its head, you know, because Akosh Baruch Hu says to him, Leich Reid, Kishi Chay Tamcha. You go down because your people have sinned. And now Moshe Rabbeinu is the tragedy of this whole thing. Says Rabbi Eliyahu Guttmacher, he has the next dimension of this unbelievable chiddush. When the Medrash comes along and says that the letters evaporated from the Luchot, I always understood for decades until I read this chiddush. I understood that all the letters left the Luchot. No, says Rabbi Guttmacher. Only the five letters left the Luchot because the concepts that they represented disappeared again, like those final letters, Menatzpach, those letters which represented a wholesome, healed, pristine world, no longer had place in existence. Just like after Adam and Chava sinned in Gan Eden, saw those letters had you know disappear and come back with new contracted bent letters. Same thing happened in Mamre Sinai. The letters that left were these letters, because with the Chet Ha'Egel, everything that came after the Chet of eating from the Eitz Hadaat came back again. So Mita entered the world, you know, bringing with it Galut and Nefila, and to become a tzaddik became so hard again. Tzidkut was compromised, and all our physical drives became, you know, poisoned, animalistic, the pay, and the ability to support ourselves, the so-called kaf, was going. We were once we left the midbar, it was going to get harder and harder. So everything, all these letters now disappeared again. That's what happened. So if this is the way we are asked to interpret this Midrash, based on these Gemaras, you put them all together, like Rabbi Eliyahu Guttmacher does ingeniously. Yeah. Now you start to answer all your questions. You know? So we said like this, what do you mean when you, why do you have final letters that at the end of the word, these letters are final letters? You know, why? The truth is, the answer is, that there's no such thing as final letters. Either they are whole pristine letters or they broken oppressed letters, bent letters. And depending on what the state of the universe is, that's the letters that are used. Now you say, so Rosh Baruch Hu created the world, the straight letters were used. Adam and Chava sin replaced by the bent letters, oppressed letters. That's how they are until Matan Torah. Then Akosh Baruch Hu for a few moments as a bit of nachas, the world is healed back to the straight letters. Chait of the Egel, back to the bent letters. Now, we said as follows, how can Am Yisrael forget the letters? How do you forget letters? How can anybody forget Aleph Beis? Everybody's learned Aleph Beis. But according to the Chiddush, yeah, what do you mean everybody learned Aleph Beis? Who ever saw the shape of the final letters? Who saw them? Adam and Chava saw them? Right? Nobody else. Moshe Rabbeinu saw them? Who else saw them? Nobody. That's why they never knew what they were. They heard about them. They heard about them. But nobody knew them. Moshe Rabbeinu had no recourse to write them when he came down the mountain post the Chet Ha'Egel. I'll tell you about him, Storosh Balpeh. You can't use them. Can't use the letters in this particular format. What happened? HaKadosh Baruch Hu then, through the Nevi'im, needed to be Mechazei Klal Yisrael. And in order to be Mechazei Klal Yisrael, meaning despite the fact that Adam and Chava sinned before the, you know, by the Eitz HaDaat, and that Am Yisrael served the Egel, despite all of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises never to shatter the relationship completely with Am Yisrael. And there will be Ketz HaYamin, there will be the end of days. And there will be certain great prophets who will, you know, who will prophesy at the end of days, will prophesy that things will be, that things will get better. That's what's gonna happen. And one of the major, you know, one of the concept of tzofim are specific nevi'im who prophesy and encourage Klal Yisrael that even if it looks hopeless, it'll be good. In the end, we will reap the reward of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though we'll go through lots of difficult times. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave these Nevi'im permission to represent that concept too. So until Moshe Rabbeinu's time, the world is either whole or broken. But after, you know, when Klal Yisrael eventually start to, you know, generations upon generations evolve, and Am Yisrael need more than ever an ability to hold on to something, come along these Nevi'im with the permission through the prophecy that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them to be Mechazei Klal Yisrael. What's the chizuk? That at the end of days, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will redeem the entire world, you know, from its sick state. How do these prophets, how do they express this idea that at the end of days, everything will come right? Am Yisrael will do tshuva. You know, how you do that? So the Nevi'im came like this. Einachanami in Moshe Rabbeinu's time. They were either whole letters, upright and strong letters, or broken letters. But now the Nevi'im have permission to express that Leketz HaYamin, things will change. And that is where the concept of these letters, which represent the foundation blocks of the world, which had been damaged, but they will become whole again, that's where the concept of a final letter took place. They took these letters in their pristine state, and they said, you will only see the world in its pristine state represented by these final letters at the end of a word representing the end of days. And therefore, these Nevi'im were the prophecy that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them. Shchachum, in other words, Am Yisrael forgot the use of these letters because they never used them. Came along the Nevi'im Chazru, they retaught them, V'yasdum, and they applied them. In order to, with the permission of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, that the prophecy that eventually the sovereignty of David HaMelech and the house of the Malchut will be reestablished, you know, all of that will happen. That is going to happen. No question about it. No question. And therefore, when these prophets, we have to sort of identify exactly who they are, but they're called Sofim for this particular reason. You know, these prophets were given permission to express this particular chiddush, this idea. And that's how the concept of final letters actually came into being. Now, just before we conclude, I want to just show you an amazing idea. I'm just going to take a picture of it quickly. Now, this is just a piece from Yeshayahu. You can also find it. You can find it in the Haftarah of Parshat Yitro. Okay, this is the piece here. Presented to your group, to the group. Now you can see like this in Perek Tet of Yeshayahu. Pasuk Vav. Look what happens over there. You're looking there. You can see it now. So you see, look. the way that we read the read that word in brackets, it says like this: Lemarbei Hamisra. The translation of that phrase means Lemarbei, to the one who grants, to the one who grants Misra, from the word Srara, sovereignty, authority, to the one, Akosh Baruch Hu, who will one day grant absolute authority, Ule Shalom Ein Keitz, and at the end of days there'll be peace. Al Kisei David, on the Davidic line, Val Mamlachto, and on the concept of his Melucha, Lachinota, to prepare it, Ule Sada, B'Mishpat Uvitztaka, Me'atave Arolam. You see what a pasuk that is? But look how the pasuk is written. The kriuktiv. Can you see that? You see in brackets. That's why it says. That's why kri. It's got a kuf next to it. That's why you have to read it. Not that we read it anyway else. But look how it's written in the Tanakh. Lemarbei is written where the final mem is inserted in place of the broken mem. We you understand? It's as if he has the pasuk talking about gula at the end of days, and to demonstrate it, we actually use what we call the final mem in the middle of the word, because that's the concept represented over here. So we put all this whole chiddush together, and you just have a magnificent theory here, treatise should I say, as to what it means the letters disappeared from the Luchot. We all thought all of the letters. No. The Chiddush is only the letters, the foundation blocks representing the concepts that were made whole again, you know, by Mamar Har Sinai, and then of course unfortunately suffered the loss. Those letters. And the final letters were invented out of that as a chizuk to Klal Yisrael, that one day Lemarbe Am Yisrael, we will come back to Am Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, with Torah Yisrael, with Malchut Yisrael, you know, flexing muscle, Leketze Amin, and that's why we were given permission to use them as final letters in the alphabet that we use today. Okay, I wish you well, and you can read through the Chiddush again in the piece that I sent you, and any questions, of course, WhatsApp me.
Yeah, just a quick one, Rav, can I ask just Avia. In terms of the thing, it's got nothing to do with the fact that Mitzah first and then Nefillah and then, you know, that type of thing. I mean, it's just the Manat. What's it?
No, I think this is exactly the point. The order of the letters, I should have said this, but thanks for pushing me to clarify. Based on the Balei HaTosfot, the Tzofayich, okay, that's one pshat. But yeah, Rabbi Leah Gutmacher is saying more than that. He's saying that The tragedy, or the Ikar tragedy, which takes place as a result of the chait of Adam and Chava, is that Mita enters the world. So the word starts off with Mita, and that's the whole idea. And as a result of the Mita coming in there, everything else, you know, starts to scramble, and then you start trying to work out why the letters are where they are. It's as a result of that, in a specific kind of order. It's not haphazard. Yeah.
Scott, thank you.
Okay. Right,
thank you, Reb David, will you post the shiur for us?
Yes. Yeah, with pleasure. If you want in English to see a summary of it, I saw it in a cipher that I got recently sent to Rabbi Bernstein. Rabbi, you know Rabbi Emanuel Bernstein? He wrote it online once a little bit about this. I'll try and find the summary of it, and I can send it to you as well. Might be quicker and easier to read as well. Okay.
Sure. Thank you so much.
Okay. Well,
thanks,
everyone. Thanks, everyone.